Let us hear God's word. Anyone who strikes a man and kills him shall surely be put to death. However, if he does not do it intentionally, but God lets it happen, he is to flee to a place I will designate. But if a man schemes and kills another man deliberately, take him away from my altar and put him to death. And then reading from chapter 20, verse 13, thou shalt not murder. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come now asking that you would feed us with the bread of heaven, that you would feed us with your word, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Last week we began to see that to break the sixth commandment of thou shalt not murder, you don't have to physically kill somebody. All you have to do is just hate them in your heart. Jesus says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother without a cause will be subject to judgment. It is sinful anger, anger that Jesus classifies as anger without cause. This is anger that arises from pride and arrogance and self-worship. That is the root cause of all murder. If you've ever hated someone, even if it's just for a moment, and you have, then you have committed murder. But the question arises, we can easily see how physical murder is so serious. But why is it just, even just for a moment, hating someone in my heart? Why is that so serious? I'm not hurting them. They may not even know it. So why is it so serious? Well, the answer is found in the scriptures. After the flood, God speaking to Noah says, and for your lifeblood I will demand an accounting. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it. You know, if you were to start your own country, what would be one of the first things you do? You set up laws, do you not? And specifically, you would set up laws that to take care of violence. Well, that's what God has done. As God started anew with Noah after the flood, God lays out this covenant. And part of that covenant is, what do we do about the violence here on the earth? It was violence that brought the flood, and it will be violence that God will continually deal with in his way. And we are told that murder, even if it's only in one's heart, it is serious. And the reason it is serious is because you are made in God's image. You see, we have no intrinsic value of our own. We began in dust and we're going to end in dust. And because we sin against God, it makes our situation even worse. Yet because we are made in God's image, even when the most wicked person that you can think of is sinned against, God deems himself being violated because that wicked person is still made in the image of God. Murder is serious, but it's even more serious because when God's image is violated and attacked, God is being violated and attacked, even if that attack is just for a moment. How do you feel when you're watching a newsreel? How do you feel when the American flag is over in another country, or maybe here in the United States, but the American flag is stepped on and desecrated and spit upon? How do you feel about that? Well, I know how I feel about it. It bothers me. I don't like it. But why does it bother us? It's not that the person hates flags. It's not that the person doesn't like the colors of red, white, and blue. No, they hate what it stands for. And you know what it stands for? It stands for you. And so the reason you would be upset is because your image there in the flag is being desecrated. Well, we are made in the image of God. And when someone attacks another individual, they are attacking God. And that causes God to become angry because His image is being attacked and desecrated. So how does God respond to that? Well, Scripture says, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. Anyone who strikes a man and kills him shall surely be put to death. If a man schemes and kills another man deliberately, take him away from my altar and put him to death. See, God speaking to Moses is referring to capital punishment. Capital punishment for those who have committed murder. Those who attacked God must be destroyed. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And the Hebrew word for murder here speaks of one person murdering another. It's not used in the scriptures for killing animals. It's not used in the context of war. It's not used with self-defense. It's not used with capital punishment. So you see, it is possible to kill someone and not be guilty of murder. Instead, it is used exclusively for an individual attacking and violating and murdering someone else. The reason why murder is so serious is because it attacks the image of God. Now, sometimes the punishment for murder is capital punishment. And God has established that you don't have the authority for that, but the state has the authority for that. In Romans 13, we are told that the governing authorities are God's servant, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. He bears the sword to punish evil. For me to seek revenge is sin. But it would not be sin for the state, the country, to seek revenge. But political law is not the only thing that is intended here. It is not simply bad to murder. It's also bad to not promote life. What God is communicating is that He is pro-life. He is pro-life. This was seen in the plagues that crushed Egypt. Why were the plagues sent? It's because Pharaoh was murdering the children of Israel. And so then he comes in with the plagues to punish Pharaoh. Why? Because God is pro-life. Jesus says that Jerusalem, because they had killed the prophets, would be destroyed by God's servant. And you know who God's servant was? Was it a righteous man? Was it a righteous country? No, it was idolatrous Rome. Same thing happened to Israel when Babylon came in and destroyed. Babylon and Rome, idolatrous nations, yet they were God's servant to punish Israel because Israel was not pro-life. They were not trying to help people. Instead, they were seeking to destroy them. It is God who is the author of life. In this passage and in the passage of the Ten Commandments, since murder is forbidden, therefore the opposite is commanded. The promotion of life. The promotion of life is the fulfilling of commandment number 6. Just think about it. Jesus is telling this story about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is commended. Why? Because he promotes the life of the individual. The other ones are not commended. Why? They didn't go and physically hurt the guy. They didn't touch him. But they left him to himself. They did not promote the life of the individual. Notice that in the Scriptures, where God condemns murder, he immediately says, be fruitful, multiply. Life belongs to God. This is why we are against abortion. Now, I may not have a job after today. I'm going to tell you what I think, but I'm going to tell you what the Scriptures have to say. Abortion is evil. It does not come from the Holy Spirit. It comes from the unholy spirit. And my friend, anyone who supports a politician who would promote abortion, then all the blood of those dear slaughtered children, their blood is put on you because you voted to put someone in a position to see that money is given to this organization in order to kill children. You're responsible for that. You are murdering those children. You are attacking the image of God. God is pro-life. And that's why we are too. God affirms that life is good. He affirms that life is so good. It's something that you want. Life is something that you want. He created you in order that you may enjoy life and God. But guess what? He recreated you so that you may enjoy eternal life. God is pro-life. God is pro-life. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Life is so precious that all those who take life unjustly will be held accountable to God. I hate to tell you this, but you're a murderer, and so that's one more thing on your plate that you need to ask God to forgive you for. When I pray, I don't have enough time to go through all of my sins because there are so many. So I hate to disappoint you, but here's one more sin that is laid upon your plate that you are guilty of, and you must ask God to forgive you. God is opposed to murder because It attacks His image. Even if you just think about it, you have broken that commandment. And here's another thing to think about. You know, sin is never idle. You do something and then that's it. No. You do something which leads to something else, which leads to something else, which leads to something else, and before you know it, like fish hanging on a string, you've got all these sins that you have committed. And when you murder someone in your heart, you are assuming a role that only God has a right to have. When you murder someone in your heart, you are saying, I am God. I have the authority to determine if this person is to live or die. How would you like it if someone assumed your identity and then they claim for themselves your family, your house, your job, your income? They determine how your money is to be spent, how you should run your home. Would you like that? No, you wouldn't. But when you hate someone in your heart, when you have those thoughts that are evil, you're assuming the place of God. You're saying that you have the right to determine what happens to this individual. My friend, life belongs to God. Life belongs to God. In my prayer this morning, I mentioned that He has determined the days for us. Let the days that He has determined for us, let them play out. Do not assume that you have the authority to end someone's life. Psalm 31 says, My times are in Your hands, O Lord. If God has determined the times of our life, if our times, the number of our days are in the Lord's hands, then no one except the Lord has the authority to cut those days short. A murderer is like the devil. Jesus says the devil has come to kill and to destroy. When we murder someone, even if it's just a thought, we kill and we seek to destroy them. God is pro-life. We are pro-life. We are to promote life. We are to protect life. Did you hear me? We are to protect life. If a life is to be taken, then God gives that responsibility to the state, not to the Christian, not to the church, but to the state. God's pro-life. We should be pro-life. Not just for ourselves, but for each other. Let us not attack one another, because in doing so, we're attacking the image of God. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we come before You asking for forgiveness because we have had those moments where we have hated people in our hearts. We've murdered them in our hearts. Oh, Heavenly Father, forgive us. And we pray that we would grow in knowledge and in grace of Jesus Christ, that we would be pro-life, that we would seek that which is good for others. And we offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.